I'm Gabriel Musselman, and this is the story of my mother, Heather Musselman, who, in a youthful endeavor, braved the Civil War, government death squads, and guerrilla war camps in the pursuit of friendship.
When did you go to El Salvador?
The first time I went was 1987, and I went three, maybe four times after that.
Okay. Can you give me some political background on El Salvador and the times you went?
Yeah, they were in the middle of a civil war, and the U.S. Was at that time supporting the Salvadorian government, and they were training the what were known as the death squads to kill anybody who was trying to help the poor. They saw it as communism, but basically trying to make sure that everybody had land to farm and that the 1% of the population that owned all the land didn't have all the wealth, but that it was distributed more equally.
What type of group did you go with?
I went with my church. And the first time I went, my friend Nora and I went as representatives of our church. We were meeting with some church leaders down there, trying to create a partnership between our church up here and the church down there in order to just partner with them, walk alongside them as they were trying to survive this war.
Knowing my family's history of indecisiveness, I asked her about her parents and sisters.
How did your family feel about you going to El Salvador?
They were nervous about it. But I was an adult, and, you know, they couldn't do much, I guess.
How did you feel about going to El Salvador?
Well, I was very excited about going. I had just read a book by Oriana Fallaci. She's an Italian journalist. It was called Nothing and So Be It. It was a book she had written when she went to Vietnam to see what war was like. So I had this romantic sort of journalistic idea of what it would be like to go observe a war. And but the night before I went, I was in Mexico City in a hotel room, and I was literally sick to my stomach with the actual reality of entering into a country in the middle of a civil war. So and I actually continued being very nervous till towards the end of that first trip there.
I was interested in the war and asked about the rebel fighters, the guerrillas.
What were the guerrillas fighting for?
Land ownership. They wanted, they basically were squatting on a lot of land and starting to farm it using cooperative farming. They would form these communities on the land that they had won through fighting, military fighting. They would start farming it and clearing it and living on it.
What was the relationship like between you and the Greys, your group and the Greys?
Well, we were on friendly terms because I went, the missionaries that we were with routinely took us into the territory that was not occupied, but under the control of the guerrilla soldiers. And, you know, we slept in their hammocks and their houses, and they had little dances for us, and we brought medicine to them, showed them how to, we had a doctor in one of the groups that we went in, and she showed them, you know, how to dispense the medicine, that we brought vitamins for the children. Things like that.
What did you do in the camp besides bring medicine and talk to the Greys? What did you guys do?
Well, it was mostly relationship building. We did help renovate a church building. But it was mostly trying to, that what they asked us for was to so they wouldn't be invisible to the U.S. government. They would have U.S. citizens with them that knew their stories and knew the threat they were under daily. So we basically just were getting to know them and be friends with them.
What differences did you see between the rebel groups and the government groups?
Well, the rebel groups were all poor. They were called the FMLN, the Farabundo Martí de la Liberación Nacional. It was named after a man named Farabundo Martí who he led the first revolution years before that. And so they named their group after him. And they were all poor. Many of them were very, very young. We saw 12 and 13-year-old girls with, you know, machine guns. We didn't see anybody actually fighting, but they had been fighting, as opposed to the military soldiers who were all older. And the interesting thing was I was there the day they signed the peace treaty, and they had a parade and a celebration, and there was a big separation between the people who supported the government and the people who supported the FMLN. And they, when we were with the FMLN, there was a festive, happy, safe sort of feeling. But when we walked over to the other side of the, we were in the capital, San Salvador, and we walked to the other side of the city, and it felt very threatening, very dangerous, actually. We got out of there fast. At one point, we were being crushed by a crowd. They were very drunk there, actually, and the other group was not drunk. And so we had to grab hands and to pull our way through the crowd. It felt like, you know, one of those places where you might be suffocated, you know, like in a sports game or something. And I lost a shoe, actually.
What do you think you accomplished?
I don't know if I accomplished anything. I think it changed me more than anything else. I'm not sure that I made a major impact on anybody's life there, but it made a major impact on mine. Made me aware of the disparity in the world.
I was interested in how my mother and the country had changed over the years.
If you were to go back now, what do you think would be different? Do you know anything about?
Well, right, yes. Now there's the gangs are taking over. There's a lot of gang violence, and so although the peace treaty was signed and the war was over, there's now a lot of threat of robbery, murder, drug violence. That they've made documentaries about it. A lot of them who had fled the country to the United States have now gone back, and there's a lot of problems.
Do you feel like you crossed the boundary between sort of, I guess, like a tourist, I would say, a person that's just there to see what there is to see in El Salvador and to view the war from an outside point? Do you think you crossed that boundary and went inside the war and really connected with the people?
Yes, I did. I don't like to travel like a tourist anyway. I'd rather stay in people's homes and really get to know people, eat regular food that people eat around their tables. And so, I mean, we cooked in their kitchens with them, and we learned how to make pupusas, which is the national dish. Ate in the, you know, the little roadside restaurants, and, you know, with them. Yeah, I'd say it was, I was not a tourist at the end. I was a friend, you know, that was going to visit friends. Well, on one trip, I was with a group from my church, men and women, and one of the men was driving, and he was a bit pigheaded. And we had in our van a man that our church had given asylum to. And he had fled the country for teaching the people how to read. And so his life was at risk because of that. And so he fled. But when we went back into the country, he snuck over the border and met us in the capital city. And so and traveled with us throughout the 2 weeks we were there. And at one point we were out late at night. We had gone to a restaurant and we were dancing, and we were in San Salvador. And so on the way back, we were driving along the highway, and in the far distance, there were these flashing lights, like at an like for an airplane. And Pedro, the man that was Salvadorian, kept telling this other man, whose name I can't remember at the moment, that he needed to pull over, and he wouldn't do it because there was like this power struggle. And so eventually Pedro got so hysterical that he pulled over. And apparently if that had happened 5 years previously, they would have just shot our van on the spot for not pulling over. But what ended up happening was they pulled us over, and the soldiers, first they came to the driver and started speaking to him, and I was sitting right behind him, so he didn't speak any Spanish. So I opened my window and said to the soldiers in Spanish, you know, I'm the only one here that speaks Spanish, so speak to me. And so I just answered kind of like in a stupid way. Like, he said, what were you doing? And I said, we were dancing. And where are you coming from? And I said the name of the restaurant. And why are you here? And I said, we were here to visit. There was a church actually in the capital that supported the government. So I said we were visiting that church. And in fact, we did visit them, but that's not who we were really there for. But anyway, so they made us all get out of the van, and Pedro, of course, was very nervous, but they didn't recognize him. And I mean, it was dark anyway. So then we got back in the van and drove away.
How do you think your experiences affected you and your worldview in the end?
Well, I think I have a real, preference for being with, like the poor and oppressed. I think it's why I moved into the city of Philadelphia and the neighborhood that we live in, rather than living like in a clean, quiet suburban neighborhood like where I grew up. I think it affects the whole way I see the world, you know. And I believe that, you know, it's our call to do what we can for those who are oppressed.
My mother's story continues to be an inspiration to her and those around her. From a Jersey girl to the war camps of El Salvador, it just goes to show that maybe crossing that boundary from a tourist to someone who belongs in order to help those in need isn't that far out of reach. For Pahomev in the World, I'm Gabriel Musselman. A realidade.